We continue the Shi'ur in Gemara. Very briefly, we stated a story that Rabbi Yochanan told. He said he was traveling in a ship and he saw a small chest, and set into it were very precious stones, diamonds and precious stones, pearls. And some small fish called Birsha were swimming around it. A very good swimmer, a diver, dived into the water to retrieve this small chest with diamonds. And the fish, he was attacked the sea, and he threw some vinegar, foul-smelling vinegar, into the waters, and the attackers were driven off. He was about to take that chest when a voice came from heaven and said, "What do you want with this chest? It's not for you. This chest is for the wife of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa." Hanina ben Dosa, as we stated, was the greatest tzaddik in his time. So great that in his zuchut, all the world was fed, nourished, given parnasa, livelihood. In his zechut, the most ill people were cured through his tefillot, his prayers. And this boy stated that his wife would in the future use this chest to place into it the chelet. Chelet is that rare blue wool that is used for the making of tzitzit. The pasuk we have til techelet, you have to have a string of blue wool in the tzitzit, the strings of tzitzit. This is the actual mitzvah of tzitzit. We do not have techelet today. And she's going to place this techelet in this chest for the sake of tzadikim in olam haba. This was the statement, the voice of heaven. This is the story that Yochanan told, and of course the story requires a deep elaboration. Yet we'll find here a very vital message, a very interesting one. The interpretation will, of course, clear up the question we brought up. How is it possible that the purpose of this chest, this very precious chest, is to place in it techelet for the sake of tzadikim in olam haba? The first place, we know, the Gemara tells us specifically about tzitzit, that there is no chance in olam haba for persons, any person, to perform mitzvot. As a pasuk, "Bametim chavshi," when a person dies, he becomes freed, exempt from all mitzvot. So there cannot be any mitzvah of tzitzit then. Why specifically techelet? Why isn't the word tzitzit used, even if so? Techelet is that rare element, that blue wool which comes from the worm called chilazon. This is a worm that comes out on the seashore once in 70 years. Therefore, it's very precious. The blood of this worm is taken together with certain types of chemicals. It is cooked, and from it we have a dye that comes forth, a deep blue dye, resembles the sky, deep blue of the sky. And this is used for the making, this dye is used for the making of techelet, that string of blue wool among the strings of tzitzit. This is to be used for the techelet for tzadikim. Now, to get to the interpretation of the story and the moral lesson involved, to understand it better, let's first take a small incident related in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the students of Rabbi Akiva, in one case, another case, we find the same story told about the students of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So the story seems to be repeated twice, that the students came to Rabbi Akiva and they said to him, "We note that there are people who go out to do business, they combine business with the study of Torah, and they succeed. They're very successful. They are very rich. Why should we live in such abject poverty? Why couldn't we have wealth too? Rabbi Akiva answered, do you really want wealth? You don't have to travel so far for it. Look, right in front of us, we're in the valley of the mountains. It's a large valley in front of us. Note carefully, Rabbi Akiva called out, valley, valley, become filled with gold dinarim, gold coins. Suddenly, with a thunderous rush, the whole valley became filled, piled high with these gold dinarim. Students rushed forward to grab. Imagine that. What untold wealth that's there. One gold dinar is equivalent of 25 silver dinarim. Each silver dinar is too as precious. Here they could take whole sackfuls of gold dinarim. When they reach forward for it, Rabbi Akiva said to them, stop. You take these gold dinarim at your own risk. You can have them, but it's at a risk, as we'll see. Now back to the story. Akiva says that they were traveling on a ship, and he saw this chest filled with gold dinarim. This means the students ask a question. Why can we not have this money, this chest filled with diamonds? Why can't we have this wealth? This represents great wealth. Why can't we have this wealth even while studying Torah? In other words, the Torah says that Orech Yamim Bimina Bismola Oshev Chavod. A person studying Torah receives long life, and also, if he wishes, he can have great wealth out of it. We are studying Torah. Where is our great wealth? Why couldn't we have this great wealth? He saw that around this, Rabbi Yochanan said he observed that around this tremendous amount of wealth, which is available, there were Talmidei Chacham, there were fish called Birsha. Fish always stand for Talmidei Chachamim, who study Torah, and they study in the waters, the sea of learning, the sea of Talmud, and they were called Birsha. Rash, Ani, means very poor Talmidei Chachamim, who study Torah, and they asked the question, why can't we have some of this wealth which is available even through the study of Torah? One diver went in to bring it. One specific one, great diver of the waters, means the greatest of all the Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva. To bring this wealth, he simply said, here you have it in front of you. Valley, be filled with gold dinarim. And there was an attack against him, against these Talmidei Chachamim, meaning the Satan wants this very much. He wants these Talmidei Chachamim to go out and seek wealth. Why study Torah? Better fill your mind with a desire for the material wealth. Descend into this ta'ava, this desire for wealth. And he threw vinegar to drive them away. Vinegar means something foul smelling, which means the midah, the quality of Rishaim, to inject in them this quality of evil, which means the simple desire for material. Ta'avat Mamun. A voice came from heaven, which means this is the answer given to these Talmidei Chachamim, and said, what do you want this wealth for? Why don't you take a lesson from the wife of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza? She asked the same question of her husband. She said to Rabbi Mendoza, in the zechut of your learning Torah, the whole world is given wealth and livelihood. If you have enough mitzvot, enough Torah to provide for the whole world, why can't you provide for yourself too? Why do you have to be so poor that all we have is one plate of soup to share for a whole week, nothing else? She never had any bread even to bake with it. They were extremely poor. furthest degree of poverty. She asked him, "You have enough Torah, get some wealth for us too." The Gemara says that she insisted so strongly that he prayed to heaven, and from heaven the form, kaviyachol, the form of a hand, lowered a long, solid gold bar. This she took, and he said to her, "You have enough wealth to last you the rest of your life. You can live in great riches." The next night, both Mechina Mendoza and his wife had the same identical dream. They dreamt they were sitting in Gan Eden with other tzaddikim, and all the other tzaddikim were sitting with tables that were solid, solidly set. The legs of the tables were solid. Only he and his wife were sitting at a table where one leg was missing. The table was wobbly. It was very uncomfortable. When they got up in the morning, they spoke to each other about this similar, identical dream, and Mechina told his wife, "You now have a choice, if possible. We hope you have a choice. That gold leg was given to you as part of our reward of Olam Haba. Now, what would you rather have? Save it for eternity in Gan Eden, or use it up now?" And she said, "I'd prefer that you return it. As long as I know there's so much reward there, I'm willing to suffer along here. Save the reward for there where it counts. Life is so short here, we can get along without it." And so, the event is a second miracle was performed that was greater than the first. A hand came down from heaven and took the gold leg, the gold bar, back up to heaven. Even this is a greater miracle because heaven gives, heaven does not take back. Now, this voice from heaven said, meaning Rabbi Akiva, said to his students, "What do you want with this wealth? Take a lesson from the wife of Chaim Mendoza, who placed Techelet in this chest for Tzadikim in the Olam Haba. What is Techelet?" Yemena says, Yemena in Chulin, Peitet says that Techelet is blue wool. Why is Techelet blue wool? Because it's the color of heaven. Resembles the heaven. Resembles the heaven which resembles the throne of Hashem Kaviyachol, which refers to heaven or Gan Eden. Why is it called Techelet then? Because that is the goal, that is the ultimate for a Jew. The ultimate goal is the Tachlit. The Tachlit, the goal of a Jew, final goal he should strive for, is eternal life in Olam Haba. So Chida Mendoza's wife placed this message. The Tachlit for Tzadikim is for Olam Haba. Here is the wealth. It's possible to receive it now. But remember that if you take it now, it's going to be deducted from your dividends in Gan Eden. This was the message Rabbi Akiva told the students. You take these gold dinarim at your own risk, meaning take it, but it's marked off your record for the future. When they heard this, they dropped it as though they were hot coals of fire. So, this thing about it teaches us that if a person is chas v'shalom poor, if he doesn't have wealth, do not envy another person who is wealthy, because in a deep sense, you're far better off than he is. If you would have wealth, you would definitely have less where it counts. You know about that. And why seek it so much when, if you do get it, it's going to be very costly later on? The person should be very happy with his lot, pray to Hashem for sufficient livelihood, sufficient earnings to live on, in all cases to say Baruch Hashem for everything, never to complain. And as Abinazal says, that if a person is suffering, he doesn't have a sufficient amount to live on comfortably, and he has aggravation, he has chas v'shalom yisurim. And despite all this, he says, Baruch Hashem, meaning, I thank Hashem, I'm very happy with what Hashem has given me. The reply from heaven is, Hashem says, you're very happy with this? You say thanks to Hashem for this? Well, I'll show you what to really be thankful about. If you say Baruch Hashem for this, then I'll give you a lot of wealth and a lot of happiness, a lot of good fortune. So you really say Baruch Hashem wholeheartedly. A person, on the other hand, is a type that complains. A person who does not appreciate what he has. And when asked how things are, he says, bad. It should be better. Continually gripes about his lot. And Hashem says, this you complain about? This is bad? I'll show you what you really complain about. Hashem deprives him of what he has, chas v'shalom. He really has what to cry about. So therefore, Ben Adam says a person should always be satisfied with what he has. And if he shows a gratitude to Hashem, whatever Hashem gives him, the reward then is, without deducting from his future, additional good fortune, additional nachat, pleasure in life, himself, his family, his children. But remember always that the tachlit of a Jew is olam haba, live for the future. That's called the zikaron diktusha, something that should stay permanently in a person's memory. Think always of the ultimate, the goal, the tachlit. The next story is told by Rav Yehuda Hindua, told that he was also traveling on a ship once. We use the word ship always in these stories. Interpretation is that he was floating along on the body of water, which means the wisdom of Torah. He was elevating himself deeply, delving deeply into the wisdom of Torah to find the lessons that the Torah could teach him. He said he saw a precious diamond in the water, and around this diamond there was a large serpent swimming around it. A diver went down to the water to retrieve this diamond, and this large serpent meanwhile went to, this was a giant sized serpent in the sea, went to swallow up the ship that Rabbi Yehuda was on. Of course, the serpent was so large that by just opening his mouth, he could swallow the entire ship whole. So Rabbi Yehuda and all on the ship were in grave danger. Suddenly there came a large bird, a raven, that was so massive in size that with its beak, it cut off the head of this giant serpent in the sea. And there was so great a flow of blood that the waters of the sea turned red with the blood of this fish, the serpent. Now along came a second serpent, quickly took this diamond and placed it on the body of the first serpent. As soon as the diamond touched the body of the first serpent was brought back to life. It was the power of Tchiyat HaMetim. He came back to life. As soon as he was alive again, he turned towards the ship, wanting again to swallow up this ship. Again, a bird came along and cut off the head of the serpent. Meanwhile, this diver had gone into the water, quickly took this stone, this precious stone, this diamond, and he threw it aboard the ship, meanwhile avoiding the possibility of this evil serpent coming back to life. He threw it aboard the ship, but on that ship at the time there were a number of birds that were being salted, prepared for cooking to eat. They'd been slaughtered, they were salted, they were ready for cooking, and they took this diamond and placed it on these birds. The birds came to life. The birds came to life. They flew off. They took along this diamond with them. They took the diamonds under their wing. They flew off with the diamond. They were not seen. This is the unusual story that Rav Yehuda tells. What Rav Yehuda is telling us is, in essence, a compact story of the history of the Jews. The prediction, story of the past, prediction of the future for the Jewish people. First major case was, he told that he saw this precious diamond in the water. This precious diamond stands for the most precious item in this world. That's the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, the Am Segula, chosen people by Hashem. And this serpent who came to swallow up this ship, ship stands for the Safun, Chashuv, the Chashivut, something of great value, which means the whole nation of the Jews. This serpent was Paro, who wanted to destroy the Jews as a people, wanted to enslave them, and then to kill off the male members, male children that were born, meaning to stop them as a, stop their progress, their perpetuation as a race. But along came this bird, this powerful bird. We left a word out. This serpent, we said first, was swimming around this diamond. That means Paro encircling the Jewish people, enslaving them. And this diver went to retrieve this diamond, meaning this was Aharon HaKohen, who came to Paro as the spokesman for himself and for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he asked him to release the Jews. Instead, the serpent turned with venom towards the ship to swallow it up. The reply of Paro was, Tikshe HaAvodah. Instead of releasing them, give them much harder labor and much more stringent rules. They have to build a certain minimum of wall. They don't fulfill that. They must place children in the wall. He made it much more difficult for the Jews. But then came this giant bird, Tzipor. This Benedel says always means the source of wisdom. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, from whom comes forth all wisdom of Torah. He cut off the head of this bird. The head, the beginning. His first act to destroy this bird was, the head means the beginning, the first act, was he turned the waters of Egypt to blood. Now this, of course, stopped Paro, the rest of the Makot. The Jews were freed. They were free, they became a nation in Israel, and they thought that was the end. But then came other nations, Babel, and Babylonian Empire, Yavan, the Greek Empire, and the last worst, the Roman Empire. Each one came, and this diamond was placed upon a serpent, which means, as the Gemara says in Gittin, that when a nation comes to attack the Jews, the first thing that happens is that the nation becomes great, powerful. Haman wanted to attack the Jews. What happened? Gidal HaMelech HaChashverosh et Haman. He became great first. The Jews do not fall under the power of a weak nation or a weak people. They are first made very great and powerful, and then they attack, and then they can harm the Jews. So new life, new vigor was given to a greater empire, one after the other, Babel, Yavan, Edom, Roman Empire. They came to swallow up completely, destroy the Beit HaMikdash, drive the Jews out, and to literally eradicate them as a nation, Chas V'Shalom. Then came finally the bird, second bird, that is Mashiach. Again called a bird, because there is a similarity between Mashiach and Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah says, Ad ki yavo Shiloh, until Shiloh shall come, which means till Mashiach will come. Yet the word Shiloh is Begimetria Moshe Rabbeinu. The Zohar Kadosh says here, that note it says this bird came and attacked the serpent. Now, the serpent is a Nachash, this evil serpent. A bird that was as great, as large, as powerful to counteract the poison of this snake. Zohar Kadosh says you needed one who is the exact antidote. One is the Umat Zeh, opposing this, a force as great enough to defeat it, and therefore Mashiach is Begimetria Nachash. To overcome the power of this original serpent, the worst of all serpents, Amalek Edom, Mashiach will chop off, break off the head of, destroy the heads of these nations, all these nations, the United Nations, and he took this precious stone, threw it onto the ship, means he gathered up all the Jews that were found in different parts of the world, brought them back to the ship, their place, the rightful place in Eretz Yisrael. The power of Mashiach was so great that even those Jews who had strayed, those Jews who had not learned enough, they were like birds who could not fly, birds who had no life to them, they too were taken in by Mashiach, raised and elevated to a point where they could become equal to the rest of the Jews. That all Jews together could rejoice coming of Mashiach and an end to all evil, all the evil powers of the world who tried so hard to stop this nation from flourishing. The end will be they will be wiped out and the Jews will emerge victorious forever. And the Gemara tells us a story. This story has no interpretation, a detailed interpretation, except one found in the words of the Ben Azal. This is a very deep interpretation. We'll have to resort to a slight touch of Kabbalah to understand this, but on a level that, of course, everyone can grasp it. Ibn says, Ma'aseh, it was a story with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. These were the two leading rabbis of their time. These were the two official rabbis of Rabbi Akiva. These two rabbis were traveling on board a ship. Rabbi Eliezer was asleep at the time. Rabbi Yeshua was sitting next to him, awake. Suddenly, Rabbi Yeshua shuddered. He trembled. But to such an extent that Rabbi Eliezer woke up. And he said to him, Mazeh Yeshua. What is this, Rabbi Yeshua? What happened? Why did you tremble so? Rabbi Yeshua answered, because I saw a giant light in the sea. And Rabbi Eliezer answered, must have been the eyes of the giant fish, the Leviathan. This giant fish, which, of course, saved for the Tzadikim in the future to enjoy this fish after the coming of Mashiach. But this great light you saw must have been the eyes of the Leviathan. This is the story. Abinazal explains the story in depth. In order to understand this, we have to first preface this with a statement. Abinazal says that there are two types of wisdom. There is one wisdom that can be grasped, could be understood, the second one that is far above the conception of a human being. One that penetrates, enters the human brain, can be understood. The other is one that encircles the brain, is outside the mind. Person could realize there's a wisdom there, there is a level of holiness, but he can't see it, he cannot conceive of its actuality. We find this in two sentences in the Torah. Pasuk says, Ayeh Mikom Kavodo. Where is the Kavod of Hashem? Ayeh means where. There's no way of knowing. This is called Ma. Ma means what. What is a vague question. There's no answer to it. What? How can you describe or understand the Kavod of Hashem? It's something that's inconceivable. No mind can grasp it. So the Kavod of Hashem is Ayeh, where, what, ma. The second pasuk says, Lo kol haaretz kavodo. Where is the Kavod of Hashem? Kavod of Hashem fills the whole world, everywhere. Where is the Kavod of Hashem? Right next to you. You're right next to it. You can see it. You could feel it. These two statements represent these two types of wisdom. One is a lower form of wisdom, where each person can understand this, can grasp it in his mind. It's Malo Kol Ha'aretz Kvodo. The whole world is filled with the Kavod of Hashem. That means the fear of Hashem, the awe of Hashem. Each person can be filled with that Yira. Yira Shemayim, Yira Hashem. The other is the Ayeh, the Ma. Ma is the what that's far above us. It's a higher conception of a heavenliness the human brain cannot reach, cannot attain. Now these two are represented by the two elements, two forms, two types, a student and a son. A student is close to his rabbi, close enough that the rabbi explains to him everything that the student wants to know, and the relation between the rabbi and student is one that is very close, but the student cannot really get that close to the rabbi to actually merge with him. Or, let's say, a servant, one who serves his master, is close but not that close. On a much higher level is a son. The son is much closer to his father, and of course we're speaking about a father who is also one who teaches his son, a rabbi too. In this case, this type of student who is a son is closer to his rabbi because he's actually part of him. He attains a much higher level, he rises to a much higher level, and he is part in Kedusha of the father because he's actually his flesh and blood. So the lower type of wisdom is represented by the word student. A student can understand, can receive the kavod of Hashem, yirat shemayim, yirat Hashem. The higher type of wisdom is called the wisdom of Ben, the son. It's so high, so above, that he reaches this point of the higher wisdom. Not that he actually attains it, but he understands. He delves into the sword, the secrets, the heavenly secrets, and he gets to the point of this crown that revolves around his mind, knowing that there is a much higher wisdom to reach for. Now, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Midrash tells us that when Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu all future generations, he saw, for example, Rabbi Akiva, his great wisdom in Torah, he also saw Rabbi Akiva's rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer. And when he was finished seeing everything, he said to Hashem, "Now I have one request to make. From all I've seen, I desire one thing most. I would like this one, Rabbi Eliezer, to be mine, to be a descendant of myself, a son, a grandson, a descendant of mine." Hashem said, "Granted." Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, he was called a great, he was an individual, one and only, a yachid. He is the Echad, the one. He is the first rabbi mentioned in the Talmud, in the Gemara. The first Mishnah of the first Gemara is Rabbi Eliezer. The Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was zocher that his son's name was Eliezer. And then the Zohar Kadosh says the same Eliezer, the son of Moshe Rabbeinu, was Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. So that Eliezer HaGadol was actually the son of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that Moshe Rabbeinu's son was Rabbi Eliezer. Moshe Rabbeinu's student was Yehoshua, his official student, the highest student he possessed. This is what the Gemara hints at when it tells us Ma'asek, story of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. The story, the case of a son and a student. These two very great holy individuals, one having reached the degree of Son, which means the higher wisdom of Ma, wisdom that is makif, that surrounds, revolves around the mind, does not penetrate, and, which means Aye, where is the Kavod of Hashem? You continually seek higher and higher. Rabbi Yeshua, the Talmud, the category of Talmud, student, or Malo, Kol Ha'aretz Kavodo. The world is filled with his Kavod, which means the Yirat Shemayim that permeates into every organ of a person who has that fear of Hashem. This is what's meant by Ma'aseh. Ma'aseh is Ma, letters Ma, and Shin Ayin. Shin Ayin means the, what is this Ma? This great wisdom is called what? This is the combination of the 10 Sefirot. We know always that what we call in Zohar Kadosh Shin Ayin Nehorin. Shin is 300, Ayin is 70, 370 great heavenly lights. The 10 Sefirot are divided into the 3 uppers and the 7 lowers. The 7 lowers are counted as 7 units of 10. The 3 uppers, to show they are different, they counted as 3 units of hundreds. So the Shin, 300, that's the 3 top Sefirot, Chachma, Bina, and Da'at. The 7 lowers, from Chesed to Malchut, stand for the 70. And this is, Ma'aseh is Shin Ayin, the 10 Sefirot of Ma, which comprise this high wisdom of Ma trying to reach for this unattainable heights of holiness. And this is what these two strived for, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. What does the Gemara teach us? This story, that a person who is a ben, who is a son, who reaches that great height so high that he's gone to the top wisdom of Ma, he should know that what have you attained? You have attained Ma. Nothing. What? Where is the Kavod of Hashem? You haven't attained it. Ayeh mikom Kavodo. You have reached nothing because you think you've gotten to a high goal, to a peak. You've got to strive much further. What you have to attain is not to be satisfied with this high level alone. You must also possess the lower wisdom of Yirat. As great as you are, you must be filled with that Yirat Hashem, fear of Hashem. This will make the son perfect. Aside from having this high wisdom, you must also be filled with Yirat Hashem. For he who is on a lower level of a Talmud, a student, he is supposed to strive to reach the higher level too. To go from there, midarga to darga, from one madrega to the next, to rise from the madrega of just Yirat Hashem, the madrega of chokhma, wisdom is koachma, the power of this ma, of this great wisdom of ayeh mikom kevodo. And how is this done? By one aiding, helping the other. This is the ma'aseh with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The son and the student were both traveling together on this boat. Rabbi Eliezer was asleep. Asleep means there is no life, there is no recognition, there is no conception. He was in the category of Ma. Aye, where? Where is Hashem? There's no recognition there. Rabbi Yeshua was wide awake. Physically, he was filled with this deep awe and fear. And then Rabbi Yeshua trembled. His trembling was from what? To show this deep Yirat Hashem. He wanted to emit some of this, to offer some of this to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer awoke. This gave him, injected in him this Yirat Hashem. He awoke with this, to this Yirat, and he replied to Rabbi Yeshua. He said to Rabbi Yeshua, Ma ze Yehoshua? You give me Yirat Hashem, the Malok Kol Ha'aretz Kvodo, I give you Ma. Ma ze, take this Ma from me, this higher wisdom of Yeshua. What was the cause of this trembling? He saw this great light in the sea, the eyes of the Leviathan, This is brought as the source, the makor, of the malchut, the kingdom. And malchut always stands for yireh, il malei mora'a shel malchut. Malchut and yireh is one, yireh, givura. This is the source of your yireh, Rabbi Yehoshua told him, and you have enough of it to inspire others with it. And so, this exchange between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, where Rabbi Eliezer elevated Rabbi Yehoshua to the degree of the higher wisdom of Ma, Rabbi Yehoshua gave to Rabbi Eliezer, filled him too with this power of Yirat Hashem. This, Rabbi Eliezer says, is the duty of every person on earth. A person should strive for this. Strive for what? For what did it be? For what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished, that he left behind both a son and a student, both with perfection. Every person should strive for this, because the ultimate is that if a person is even a tzaddik, if he passes away, he goes to Gan Eden, he has not fulfilled his duty and his mission. A person, a righteous person, should be alive, not in one world, but in two. This was the tefillah of David HaMelech. His major tefillah was, Agure b'yorcha olamim. Hashem, allow me, help me to live in both of your worlds, in Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa, simultaneously. How does a person do that? Minadol says when a person passes away, he continues to live through his students. If he has given Torah to his students, it means he has given part of his spirit, part of his ruach. So his ruach, his spirit, continues to live in those students. When they study Torah in the name of their rabbi, that means that he is still living on in this world, though he is actually in Gan Eden. He's living in both worlds. But that is not enough. A person cannot be satisfied, he has not fulfilled his duty by just having students. The first mitzvah in the Torah is for a person to leave behind children. A person leaves behind a son on this world, this son represents him. He continues to live in this world through his son. Now the Benedict says that still is not enough. A person should strive to see to it that it should not be just a son he leaves behind, but that the son should be a student also. You have a son, you have the mitzvah of limadatem l'tam. Teach your son Torah, so he becomes both your son and your student. You make this son reach perfection. The person has a student too, make that student into a son. Meaning, bring him so close, with such devotion, teach him so much, that you fulfill what the Gemara says. Hamalamed ben chavero Torah, one who teaches a person Torah, it is ke'ilu yeldo, as though he gave birth to him. The Talmid becomes like a son to his rabbi. And we find that in the case of close Talmidim, the words that Elisha Hanavi cried out when his rabbi left him, went to heaven, Eliyahu Hanavi, his first words were, Avi, Avi, my father, my father. This he said about his rabbi, meaning that he was a student who reached the higher level of son too. This is what a person should strive for. The China of Moshe Rabbeinu, who left behind a Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua, two, a son and a student who possessed both the qualities, each. The son possessed the qualities of student also. Student possessed the qualities of a son. But of course, those here should meanwhile strive for the combination of these two types of wisdom, to know at all times that as high as you go, as great as a tzaddik becomes, Benedel says that basically a person can be religious, loyal, and devoted to Hashem. He must have the foundation of religion, and that is fear of Hashem. It is true that a love for Hashem, serving Hashem out of love, is greater, but love for Hashem is not enough unless it's built on a sound foundation of fear and awe of Hashem. through this, a person can become very close to Hashem and really serve Hashem devotedly throughout all his life. Be zocheh to chayei olam haba. We should be zocheh to shortly to fulfill this heavenly advice and to see with our eyes the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, the return of all of Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Amen. Amen.